Willkommen zu Tag 5 unserer Special Dr. Vignesh Vortragsreihe, die ich damals 2019 in Indien live von ihm mit ihm gemeinsam aufgenommen habe. Heute ist das Thema, wie du dein Dharma, also deine Berufung findest und was dein Karma damit zu tun hat.
You are in your element of Dharma. And what the law of Dharma says, when you are in that stage where you are focused on growth and contribution, all the resources that you need, it will come to you effortlessly.
Ich bin Dana Schwand mit Da ist Gold drin.
Dr. Vignesh Devraj ist Ayurveda-Arzt und Gründer des Sitaram Beach Retreats und heute spricht er in unserer Vortragsreihe über die Themen Dharma und Karma. Also er spricht erstmal darüber, was die Sanskrit-Übersetzung von diesen beiden Begriffen überhaupt ist und warum die Frage, was ist der Sinn meines Lebens, eigentlich Quatsch ist und was wir uns stattdessen fragen müssten. Außerdem sagt er, was die 6 wichtigsten Bedürfnisse von uns Menschen sind und was wir tun können, um die zu erfüllen bzw. in unserem Leben haben müssten. Er sagt auch, wie du dein Dharma bzw. deine Berufung findest und was es für dein Leben bedeutet, diese Berufung tatsächlich auch zu leben. Und er spricht darüber, welche Ausrichtung wichtig ist, wenn du die Dinge in der Energie deines Dharmas machen möchtest und was das automatisch für dein Karma bedeutet. Wie immer ist das Ganze auf Englisch und krass wertvoll. Deswegen hoffe ich wahnsinnig, dass du ganz, ganz viel daraus mitnehmen kannst. Wie immer verlinken wir alles zu ihm, seinen Sitaram Beach Retreat und seine Mastermind Ayurvedic Healing and Beyond in den Shownotes. Wie immer möchte ich, dass du mit mir detoxst gemeinsam vom 11. bis 18. März nach der Anleitung von meinem Buch Easy Detox mit Ayurveda. Wenn du da keinen Bock drauf hast, ist natürlich auch fein, aber ich wollte es mal gesagt haben. Und dann wollte ich noch, weil es heute um das Thema Berufung geht, dir noch erzählen, wir haben auch einen ganz tollen Workshop zum Thema Berufung und zwar ein Made for More Workshop. Alle Infos dazu findest du auf ichgold.de/Kurse. Also da habe ich einen Workshop gegeben, den du dir einzeln einfach so jederzeit kaufen kannst. 3-stündiger Workshop, den du machen kannst zum Thema Berufung. Genau. That's all I wanted to say. Ich wünsche dir viel Spaß.
One of the reasons why I started giving this talk on Dharma and Karma is after we started, many people would come and ask me, what is this law of Dharma? What is this something to do with karma, my disease? And why am I living like this? Is there something with my past life? All of these questions would come. Then I realized it will be interesting to make you a clarity on how it came in the first place. By the way, do you know what the word Dharma means? The word Dharma? Okay, before that, let me tell you, I'm sure you all must have heard about the author Leo Tolstoy. Okay, before the television and many of the printing press came, he was one of the most famous author at his time, considered to be, you know, today we have big Beyonce and other stars. At that time, he was the biggest star known because his works really transformed people. And one of his famous small novella was called as Death of Ivan Illich. Okay, like the story, we know the end, it's just the death. But the story is this, Ivan Illich was a big judge in a big city of Russia. And he used to live the life of creme de la creme, you know, everything, all the first world problems. Okay, who is having a better dress? Am I having a better position? Who all are invited for the party? Am I having all of this? And one of the reason was his partner, his wife always wanted him to be the best. His wife always wanted him to be at the top of anything. Loves that competition. Nobody should get better than him. So his life was everything to prove that he is the best. He could accumulate whatever money could get. And one fine day, he was about to die. And he looked into his wife's eyes and was holding her hand and said, what if my life was a whole lie? Do you understand what I'm saying? When we say, what if my life was a whole lie, he thought, he was not living for himself. When he looked back, he was just living to please others and just to be best, but deep inside there was a huge vacuum. And the story was, are we living that lie or are we changing that? You know, and whenever we are living in that lie, we see a lot of problems, and whenever we are not living that lie, there is a huge energetic force that works in harmony with us. And that is what this concept of dharma is about. Now, if you take the meaning of the word dharma, many of you must have heard about the spiritual book Bhagavad Gita. It is after that book got translated, this concept became so famous around the world. Till then, this was something secluded to some of the Sanskrit books. But in many of the English translations, this word is called as duty or moral values, or what is ethical. Like they say that duty means, if you are a soldier, your dharma is to protect. If you are a doctor, your dharma is to heal. It is just that, what is your duty? As a father, what is your dharma? As a mother, what is your dharma? As a son, what is your dharma? As a gardener, what is your dharma? It's just about talking about duties and responsibilities of a job role that we all have in different positions. But in Bhagavad Gita, it is told, if you are not performing your dharma, in English translation, it is told that you are performing a sin. Do you understand? If you are not performing your dharma, you are indulging in a sinful activity. Now, sinful activity is an English translation. But the Sanskrit word for that is, if you are not indulging in dharma, you are indulging in something called as papa. It's not papa, it's papa, which is loosely translated as sin. But if you look at the root meaning of this word, it actually means to be stuck. You know, to be stuck in life. I feel I'm not moving ahead. I feel I'm not growing. But sin means it has lots of negative connotations associated. Something is wrong with you. You are the creation itself, the source itself was not correct for you. This kind of a belief and connotations are associated with the word sin. So the word sin is not the appropriate understanding of this. If you are not involving in dharma in your day-to-day life, you are stuck in your life. That is what it actually means. And then what it means is, possibilities of indulging your life in karma is high. Karma means what? Can somebody say, what do you mean by karma? Just to wake you up. What does the word karma mean to you? Just few words. Many people could have many understanding of this. Yes, there is also a meaning that cause and effect. Like, if I did something good, we expect something good will come back. If I did something bad with wrong intention, something bad could come back. This is what we feel. And we also feel like we have this concept of reincarnation in India, you know. So if something is not correct in this life, maybe something was bad in the past life, so I am paying the penalties now. Like a parking ticket in my past life, I am facing it right now. It is coming back. Let's analyze the word dharma first, and then we will go on to the word karma. Okay, we have two phonetical sounds, ma and da, and a is a vowel that joins two. The word da actually means to protect, or it is more like a foundation. No, it's like a structure for something to move. And the word me, ma means, you know, in most of the words, mother, me, mine, it all comes from the word, the phonetical sound ma. And it also means mother, it also means me. But the root meaning of the word ma means my purest self. Or the purest self, the way source created me. Without any adulteration, like the way without any anything that is added as it is natural. Does that make sense? So the word dharma can mean any activity that you do where you find yourself. It could be, okay, like we say, we could also say, there are more than 13 to 14 different meanings in English if you translate. But this is the root, the beauty of Sanskrit is, it's like a glass frame. You can look at it the way you want it. Depending on what is your observation, you can look at it. But when we look at what is the root meaning, this is the root meaning. We can also turn it into, it is my dharma as a father to do that. It is my dharma as a doctor to do this. We can also call it, ethical side. We can also call it the moral side. But what this actually means when it comes to our life, people now have a way of looking at dharma means I want to find the purpose of my life. You know, there is a saying. The moment we ask, I want to know what is the purpose of my life, there is something wrong with that question. Because we are coming from a state of lack. I feel something is missing with my life. I am not happy with my life. I feel I am in a very unhappy place. So, I want to go to a happy place. So, we find reasons to say that I want to find the purpose of my life. Do you get me with that? So, instead of asking, I want to know what is the purpose of my life, we have to go to it in a different approach. Now, the thing is, there is a, like we say, there are no people with same identical fingerprints. You know, everybody has a different thing. And everything that is created in nature is there for a reason. Maybe we are not able to understand that. You know, the oxygen that we are breathing is actually a waste of the plants. You know, it's a carbon dioxide that is emitted. Everything is highly connected and interrelated. Like they also say that the flap of the butterflies in Africa could create tornadoes elsewhere. It is all interrelated. And today what has happened is we are living in a competitive society. I want to know who is better. I want to see if I can run the 100 meters faster than somebody else. You know, will I be able to finish more than this time? This kind of a competitive attitude comes with its own problems. Now, let us understand the human needs, where question is coming from and why people are upset sometimes. I'm not able to find my dharma. We need to understand some of the basic human needs. And if you look at what we all are doing, everything that we do, everything that we don't do, it is to satisfy this human needs. One of our basic needs as human is what? We all need certainty, right? Certainty means I want to know, will I get food tonight? I want to know what time my treatment is. I want to know, will I have my flight take off at the same time? I want to know, will I get an aisle seat? We have these needs. I want to know if things are certain. Because there is also a statement, we would choose sadness over uncertainty. Because uncertainty means things are out of control. So we all have a need for certainty. This is one of our basic needs, right? Another need, okay, if everything is so certain, we could get bored out of death, you know. Things will be, do you know, if somebody is going to watch a thriller movie, the worst thing you can do to that person is what? Tell the end, right? Can you imagine how that person will feel? You know, you are paying to get entertained with that thriller, you know. I don't know how the system is going to evolve. For that uncertainty, you are going. So, it's not enough that you have only certainty, you need some uncertainty also. So, you have something called as uncertainty. Like, there was a Bollywood movie which became a huge hit and it was a great thriller. But the thriller was not finished. He said, you have to come for the sequel to get the real end. And then people were so excited, oh my God, how can I wait for 1 or 2 years for the next movie to come? Because it was that good. So when the sequel was about to happen, the director of the movie, do you know what he did? He was so worried, what if people take a video with their mobile and leak how the climax is going to be, end going to be. So I might lose my money. So what he did, he secretly took 4 different endings of the movie. If one of them get released, I will put the other one, you know, so that he still keeps that entertainment. So people are actually going for that thrill. So this is also one of our needs. So, but we could have, if certainty is your biggest need, there is one place you have complete safety. Do you know where it is? If safety is your biggest need, there is one place you have complete safety in life. It's the jail. Okay, after we die, for sure. But we are talking about jail. You know, in prison, you have complete safety. Everything is so as it is, you know. Then there is no point in life. You know, we need some variety. And after this, we have one more need, what is called as significance. I want to get rewarded for the work I do. I want to get promoted in my job. I want to get appreciated. I want to get the accolades, and the people should recognize the work that I do. It's one of our most important needs. As a mother, I wish to be appreciated. I am a good mother. As a father, I wish to be appreciated. Like, we would like to get some appreciation for the work we do. This is all one of our deepest needs. And then we have another need called as connection, or we can also call it as love, because we are a socially connected. Okay, now we have digitalized it and it comes with its own problems, but like there is also a statement, may your life be as good as you try to show it in Facebook and Instagram. You know, even though it need not be the reality, but the way we try to connect with others. This is one of our needs. And then the last two needs is we have a need for growth. And we have a need for contribution. Do you understand this? We have all these kinds of needs. Every work, every activity that we do or don't do, it is to meet these needs. Do you understand this? Now, all of us have all the 6 needs, but depending on how we interpret our experiences, depending on our childhood, depending on the books we read, depending on the friends that we surround with, depending on the childhood and the parenting that we got, depending on our intellectual discriminatory powers, one of them will be our priority. Do you understand? Priority. For some, certainty could be the most important need. If certainty is their top need, and if their partner's top priority is uncertainty, can you imagine? You know, the partner who has certainty as the need, if she is told that I will call you at 8 o'clock, and if it is missed by 5 minutes, panic attacks, you know. What if they go and met with an accident? Maybe something like that would have happened. Do you understand this? And what this, according to the law of Dharma, as long as you are aligned with the laws of nature, your life will be beautiful. Now, when we talk about the laws of nature, do you see, in nature there is nothing permanent. And nature loves flow of energy. The moment energy gets stuck somewhere, it will perish. Nature will put every effort to break that block. Do you understand this? And that is why it is said, when you indulge in your dharma, you are actually in flow with the nature's flow of energy. Now, what we mean by flow of energy, even though we have all the 6 needs, if significance, let's understand, if significance is your top priority of needs, what will happen? Do you know this person who went to moon for the first time? Neil Armstrong. When he went to moon, when he came back, okay, there are some controversies, they never went. But the story is, after they went and they came back in the 70s, the president of United States gave them one of the best awards, and the whole of the teenage and the people who are growing up, they all wanted to be like him. You know, someone who made it to the moon. We all only think about going to the moon and things like that. And who made it real, well, we all want to go to the moon. He is a superstar. And do you know how he died? Died of extreme addictions. Okay, how did Michael Jackson die? He got, you know, the heights of fame. You know, when he goes to a place, people would die to see him. And in his concerts, which are packed, people would die there and cry and tears would come. And how did he die? You know, Elvis Presley, how did he die? He had all the things, money and fame a person could imagine, right? You know, Robbie Williams? You know, he could get everything the film industry of Hollywood could offer to a person. He got Oscar awards. He realized, okay, now I want to create my own movie. He went on to do that. He made his own film production and he committed suicide. What do these people teach us?
That they're going in the wrong direction.
Their top priority is against the law of nature. Which is, among all the six, okay, this one can be with first three and this can also be because of the last two. What the law of nature says, if we can have our top priority here, these things will come to you naturally. But if you are fixated here, you will find difficulty in your growth. See, when somebody says, I am depressed, what that person is saying, it's been a long time since I learned something new. I tried something new. I felt the sense of growth. You know, when you learn something new, there is a good hormone that is being released inside you. You know, when you learn a new language, when you learn a new skill, when you do something you never did before, something changes inside you. Do you understand this? So that's why one of the questions that we have to keep asking ourselves, when was the last time I did something for the first time? You know, it's just a way to, there's also a statement, most of our thoughts are repetitive. 99% of the thoughts are repetitive. We are living in the same past. And if you're worrying about the future, most of it are the same. And when that is when we become stuck. So what does it mean if certainty or uncertainty is all that you need? All the first three things are limited. There is a limit how much security can be given. You know, one day we all have to die. No matter what you earn, there is no transportation service to the other life. We all have to dump it here. No matter how much uncertainty you need, there is a limit to how much that can happen. And there is a limit how much significance can happen to you. That is what we learn from all these personalities, you know. Neil Armstrong, Robbie Williams, Elvis Presley. Every day we hear this, you know, they died of narcotic addiction or overdose because they wanted significance, and the moment they lose it, they are looking for it, and the moment they don't get it, they look for an alternative. That is why one of the reasons why depression and anxiety is at its peak today is because we live in a significance-obsessed world rather than looking for growth and contribution, especially with the social media. I want to have this many number of followers. I want to have this many people coming and saying you are the best. Rather than looking at how much we are contributing, this is where we are stuck. And now let us look at the word nature. The word for nature in Sanskrit is called as prakriti. The word pra, in English we have the word progress, right? Program, promote, something like evolve or growth. The word pra actually means growth or evolve. Evolve, yes. And the word kruti actually means a never-ending process. And what is nature? Nature is a never-ending evolution. It will never stop. And the same is with us. You know, there is a statement, you can never step into the same river twice. And the same is with our physical body also. You know, every split second, billions of cells in our liver are dying and the new cells are being formed. Depending on the food we eat, depending on the thoughts we think, depending on the activities we do, our body is constantly changing. And the more we are stuck with one aspect, And that is what we call it as clogging. When we get clogged in life, when we are holding on to something for a longer period, that is when cancer happens. That is when our life becomes stuck. That is when disease will manifest in many other aspects. Like we said, one of the reasons research was done when people had heart attack and they did not survive after that, they died of their first heart attack. What was common between all the people who had heart attack and died in their first heart attack? They were checking, is it the race, is it the food habits, is it some particular age group or belonging to a particular community? They couldn't find anything common except for one thing. They all were extremely dissatisfied with their jobs. When you're dissatisfied with a job, it was like, I don't want this and I'm living for something else. This is creating that. And what the word Prakriti means is when you are in that stage of growth, that is when you are in your element of Dharma. And what the law of Dharma says, when you are in that stage where you are focused on growth and contribution, all the resources that you need, it will come to you effortlessly. Okay, when we say effortlessly, it creates confusion because we all are told you have to fight. You know, you have to be stressed. You have to do lots of hard work. But you see, if you ask an artist, a real artist, he might paint for hours and hours till his body gets tired. But if you ask him, do you have to put a lot of hard work to do this? He would say the more and more he does it, he gets happy. If you ask an excellent football player, he would say that the more and more I play, I always look forward to it. The more and more I play, maybe my physical body gets tired, depleted of nutrition, but deep inside my energy just gets better. Do you understand this? So the idea is, now people ask, but I don't know what is that in me. It is not that the moment you are born, a red carpet is put, okay, this is your Dharma and you have to do that. It is like that thriller movie, you know. You have to experience, experiment, and that journey is the process. Like I saw one ad for Emirates flight business class. Journey is as good as destination. Okay, the business class can say that. But the idea is, how are we going to look at and approach our life? Now, let us see how we can approach and re-approach our life. Now, is this clear now? Now, what this says is, no matter what is your priority, if these are your top priority, certainty or uncertainty or significance, prepare to have anxiety and depression. If growth and contribution is your priority, see, love and connection, we all have it. Some people will associate love and connection to significance. Some people will associate love and significance to growth or contribution. And if you are looking forward for growth and contribution, the resources that will come to you will be beyond our logical capacity. We don't know from where, out of thin air, things come out. Because there is a need to contribute. You know, we are not blocking things. We are not in a process of consuming. We are in a process of giving. That's the law of nature. Nature never allows anything to consume over. Maybe it could for a longer period, then the disease will come and it will break and it will distribute. You will see everywhere, the history is full of that. Whenever energy is consecrated in one place and it is depriving the other flow of nature, nature will destroy it. That's just the law of nature. So the question is, how much are you in alignment with that distribution? The story, there was a castle being built, a huge castle. So one gentleman goes and asks three of the laborers who are cutting the stone. He asks the first person who is cutting the stone, why are you doing this work? And the person who was cutting the stone said, oh, I have to do this because I need some money so that at evening I can have some food and some alcohol to relax. The second person, he asked the second person, why are you doing this work? He said, oh, I have a family, I have some kids, I have to take care of them, I have to feed them. And if I don't do, they are completely dependent on me. I'm the only breadwinner. That's the reason why he's working. He asked the third person, why are you doing this stone. He said, oh, I am participating in creating a beautiful, magnificent architecture that is going to bring lots of happiness to people who will come here. Three people doing the same work, you know. But don't you agree, the third person will have a different energy to that. The first person's energy will be limited. Second person, a little more, because he has a little more need to contribute to his family. So he will be a little more committed. The third person, his work will be a work of art, because he is connected to that energy of nature to contribute to that growth. Do you understand this? Now, when we say the word dharma, I will go back to that word again. We said sustain, protect, foundation, all of this comes there. My purest self. It is like, we could also say that there is an activity when I perform, I am connected to my highest powers. We could also say, when I am in a state of contribution, no matter what activity that I do. Do you understand? We could approach it in two different ways. I could say that, okay, let's say I don't like accounting. Before, when those people come to me and sit with the accounts, within 5 minutes, I would get restless. But you tell me, sit with the patients, go through the blood reports, change their life, give them all the ideas and things. I could do it for hours till my body gets tired. It's just that I learned to see the contribution because of that. But when I saw the numbers, somewhere in my past, there is a research done. The reason why you feel you are not good at something is not because you are really not good at that. It's just that you convinced yourself you are not good at it. For example, if somebody is born and they did something for the first time and somebody said, wow, you could do it, you are a natural. Then, maybe I am a natural, then they start doing more and more of that. Do you understand? And it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. And it is told, the reason why some people are not good at something is because the first time when they tried it, somebody came and poured cold water in their burning desire. And they convinced, I am never able to do that. Okay, then with this accounting, here we had one a CFO of a big company. And then he came and told, I work with numbers, and I was like, oh my God. Is your heart okay? Then I started worrying, how is he living with this, all these numbers? But then he says, I love this job. And I was like, how can that be? You know, how can someone just sit on that Excel sheets and spreadsheets and do all that? And then he said, what is your favorite game? Because he was Indian, we love watching this game called cricket, you know. And cricket, if you want to enjoy cricket, you have to fall in love with the scorecard. You know, you have to understand what is the statistics. It's an 8-hour game. Sometimes you have the match for 5 days. So if you don't enjoy the scoring, you will never appreciate the game. So he said, imagine watching a game without knowing the scores. How will it be? And he said, accounting is just a scorecard for the game of your business. Okay, I never saw it that way. I always saw it that numbers are a bloody waste of time. And the banks just want to kill you with that. And the government wants to rip you off the taxes. This was my thought. Then I changed that and I realized, oh my God, if I start making decisions according to that, I can make the contribution way better instead of just thinking out of. So what happened? I was avoiding all of that till I accept. So if there is something you feel in your life, you are stuck. It's just that we had a different approach to it. Completely. If you say I'm bad at finance, I am bad at language, I am bad at organizing things. It is not true. It's just that we self-fulfilled ourselves saying, I am bad at it. And it is a trained pattern. However, the law of dharma says, no matter where you are from, as long as you are breathing, there is a unique gift. Why you are created. The more you tap into that, your energy just grows, grows, grows. And whatever is the blocks in your life, it will just release. But in order to tap into that, nobody is going to come with a you know, like we said about a red carpet. Okay, this is your dharma, so you have to do that. So the big question is, how do I find my dharma? Now the first question that we have to change is, instead of understanding how do I find my dharma, the process, you know, it's like when people are so fixated, I just want to lose 5 kilograms. What usually happens is the moment they lose 5 kilograms, they immediately go to a party, they eat something and it will all come back. But rather, you know, they don't have the goal of losing weight, but rather they focused on, I love to exercise. I love to enjoy food, but I'm going to eat mindfully. And I will eat when I'm hungry and I will eat healthy. Even this person is fat or overweight, if that person is able to stick to this pattern, even if that person is not having a goal of losing kilo weight, he will still reach that, right? Do you understand? The moment you are fixated on the goal, the possibilities of missing out the goal becomes higher, because we are diluting our energy to go there. Do you understand? And we are so fixated on the outcome. And that exactly is what the essence of the teaching of Bhagavad Gita. It is not the outcome, it is the process. Falling in love with the process is the way of doing that. And what is the process of finding your dharma? It is being open-minded to life. And when we say open-minded to life, the best story we can tell is, there was a monk and he was getting old and everybody in the society was worried, why is he not getting married? Oh my God, you will become old and you will not get any young beautiful girl and then you will die alone. And then whenever somebody would come and tell him that, he would say, maybe, may not be. You are so unlucky that you are still not able to find a girl for you. He would say, maybe, may not be. And one fine day, his parents found a beautiful girl and he got married, even though he was getting aged. And then everybody in the society would cow to him and say, wow, you're so lucky again. And he would say, maybe, may not be. And after some time, the whole society was observing, they are not having a child. Oh my God, even though he found a wife, he still cannot have a child. Such a poor guy. How can they live? You are so unlucky. And then he would say, maybe, may not be. And after some time, his wife gets pregnant and gives birth to a young boy. And everybody becomes excited. You are lucky again. How did you manage? Even though your wife was getting old, you have a boy, you are so lucky. And again he would say, maybe, may not be. Then as the child was growing up, everybody at his age, like today, the moment you are 18 years old or even earlier, you want to drive a car. Those days, horse riding was like the passion. If you are not riding a horse, it is like not having your legs. He was not able to ride the horse like his friends. He was quite poor. He was taking time to learn the horse riding. And everybody would go and tell, oh, it's such a pity your son cannot ride a horse so well. Then he would say, maybe, may not be. One day, his son got on a horse, was riding on the horse, fell down and fractured his leg. And he couldn't move for months. And then again the society came and told him, oh, such a pity thing. You're so unlucky again. And he said, maybe, may not be. Then all of a sudden, the king sends his army to pick up all the young boys. The state is going for a war. So you all have to join the army because we have to fight for our protection. All the mothers were in tears because they don't know if the son will come back alive, their sons will come back alive. But this boy could not go because he had a fractured leg. And everybody would go and tell him, you are so lucky. You are the luckiest man on the planet. And he would say again, maybe, may not be. Now, we have to understand, in Patanjali Yoga Sutras, one of the basic works of our mind is called as Tarka. Tarka means finding the logical reasoning, you know, bridging the cause and effect. If there is a cause and effect, I want to bridge this. This is one of our basic functions of our mind. I want to bridge the cause and effect. Like one of my friend, whenever we watch cricket match, he will say that he wants to sit in that chair in that particular awkward position. When he sat in that chair for a long time, India always won the match. So he thought it is because of his capacity, India's winning. It's just that Pavlov's dog theory, you know. There is a bell, there is food and the dog. The bell, food and dog. Bell, there was no food, but the dog starts salivating because we started to bridge the cause and effect. This tarka is of two types. It is called as vitarka and kutarka. The word ku means limited. Limited tarka actually means reasoning. Well, reason means what? You want to bridge? What is the reason behind this? I want to know why did this happen? And the word vi means profound or beyond. What is unknown? Do you understand this? There is something, just because this is all I can see, you know, our ability to listen is limited to certain decibels. There are animals which can hear beyond what we can hear. But that doesn't mean the decibels are only this. Do you understand this? There is a statement, what is known is only a drop, the unknown is an ocean. And the vitarka is this profound reasoning. It says, if you have to follow the path of Dharma, we have to focus on vitarka, not kutarka. In this story of the monk and the society, the moment something happens, they came to a conclusion, he is lucky or he is unlucky. Do you understand this? If something happens in our life, how many times something that did not go well as per our expectation later turned out that was one of the best things that happened? Do you understand this? And we have, instead of asking, why did this happen to me? Instead we ask, how is this contributing in my growth? You know, like asking the questions can change many things. Instead of asking, why me? What is this teaching me? You know, there's a huge shift that will happen. So, and the monk was always under vitarka. No matter what happened, he was open. Maybe there is something more to this. Maybe there is something more. Just because I don't see what it is right now, doesn't mean it is always going to be my judgment. Does that make sense? So, if we take an approach to our life, just because I don't know if things are not going correct, things can change. Just because it is dark, the sun is going to rise. There is nothing that is going to be permanent. Okay, the first thing is we have to get into the mode of vitarka. Like I want to understand, how can I be a little more open-minded? Start with little things. Just because if something did not happen the way you expected, things, maybe there are certain other things also that can happen. Now, when we say the word vitarka, we are also talking about, you know, why do we always say a child's energy is so contagious? You know, when a little kid comes, everyone's attention will go to that child. You know, there is some kind of a spark that we see in a child's eyes. What is that? Lack of light?
Love
of light. What we are saying is, whenever you see a child, one of the words that associate with their energy is the word called as innocence, right? What is the word innocence? Innocence means he is always curious. He is always looking for things. And that curiosity, how does it come? Because that's the way nature has programmed. He wants to know what is it. You give him something, he will go and open it, you know. Like there is a research done. Kids who are aged 3 and 4, 100 kids, they were grouped together and they were trying to find out what is their creative abilities. More than 91% of the kids were extremely creative. The same group after 3 years, when they became 7 years, they checked how is their creative abilities. it became less than 23%. Because when they are growing, a lot of fear is induced. Don't do this, don't do that. Be mindful. If you are not able to handle them, we are always told obedience is what kills the creative aspect of them. Instead of appreciating the curiosity, things change. You know, there is a story. A truck got stuck under a bridge. You know, like the truck was, the height of the truck was high and the bridge was small and it got stuck. And there was a huge traffic block. And people were thinking, okay, let's stop because it's going to take maybe 1 or 2 days to remove the whole truck because it was a huge truck with lots of tires. So one gentleman was going, walking towards the accident area with this little kid. So they were looking and all the fire force was trying to move the truck and remove that stuff. And this little kid asked, "Dad, why don't they remove the air out of the tires?" And then one policeman heard this, "Oh my God, why didn't we think like that?" And then the moment the tire was deflated, they just, it came out as easy as a pie. And it is that we all have this creative powers, you know. If you look at the history, one of the reasons why our humanity is so successful is because we went against fear and followed our need to explore. You know, Vasco da Gama, he was worried he will fall on the edge of the earth to find spices in India. And the same with Columbus. He thought he is going in search of India, but he found America. Well, the irony is we are still learning he discovered America, but that's another thing. Now, when we say we have to become curious, do you know there are two, there is a mother and father for depression. The mother of depression is perfectionism. Like, if I am not able to run the marathon on the second day of my running, it is not worthwhile to go. The first time I draw, if I am not a Picasso, I should not draw. Do you understand? So, the perfectionism kills our need to try new things. Okay, if perfectionism is the mother, do you know who is the father? It is impatience. Now, today, people want to achieve things so fast. You give me 9 women, I have to produce the baby in 1 month. See, of course, impatience helps to grow, but we also need to understand everything has its time. And when we are focused, and that is when these problems are for people who are so focused on significance. Whereas if you are focused on contribution and growth, it is not that they don't achieve it, but they will also, see, there is nothing called as perfectionism. Perfectionism is actually another word for a diplomatic word for you're stuck in one benchmark. There is always a growth. There is nothing that is the best. You'll always see something better elsewhere. And when we say perfectionism, we are stuck only if I do that. It kills our ability to try out new things in life. So the question, when was the last time you did something new? If you are doing some work, instead of blaming, this is bad, let us try to understand the joy. How am I able to contribute to that? Like one gentleman, he was saying, he went to the annual conference of Microsoft and Apple. So when he went to Microsoft's conference, everybody were talking. 70% of the speeches were about how can we design better applications to beat Apple. Okay, this was what he found out. Same gentleman went to Apple's one of their conference. More than 99% of the people, they were trying to discuss about how can we create products that will help teachers teach the students better. Do you see the difference? Mm-hmm. And you see who is better at what. So the question is, how am I using my energy to contribute? That is what is true dharma. And now I'll come to the word karma. Now, there are many religious studies about the word karma. Let's just understand the word karma means, the word karma. We spoke about this, right? The word ma means my purest self. The word kar actually is a cycle. Like you keep rotating. The idea is your cycle of life to finding your true self. Are you with me? People think, maybe if I buy this car, I will find myself. Then later they realize, okay, this is not what my happiness is. Maybe if I have this much money, maybe if I am going there, I will find myself. And they realize it is only a temporary thing. And till we find our dharma, we indulge in karma. And it keeps repeating. That is what the word karma means. And the secret of happiness is in giving. No matter how much you possess, there is a limit. How much can our sense organs enjoy? And today you will see so many rich people depressed. You have all the money and you have the best mattress, they cannot sleep. They have the best chefs, they could afford to go to a Michelin star restaurant, but they don't have the appetite to eat. So we are missing the basics. Whenever, that is how the nature brings in control. You know, it's just the way the nature brings in control. Today, one of the reasons why we have depression and anxiety so high is because we are so focused on significance. Rather, if we focus on how can we contribute, we are not fixated on the time. And that is why we say that being open and at the same time learning to try out new things. If there is something you don't like in your life, just understand it is not because you don't like it. You trained yourself to dislike it. You tell me one job you don't like. There will be hundreds of people who would die to just do that. I'm sure, just observe it. It just means that our approach is wrong. And when we are trying this new things, there we will find that password. And when you are so fixated, I want to find that password, it is like the story of that person. There is a group of stones, there is a diamond in that. So he was so worried, I want to find that diamond, so he was throwing all the stone. And in that throw, he missed the diamond also. Now that's how we miss our talent. So being that mindfulness, you know, how am I feeling when I do this? And people will tell you, wow, when you do this, your energy is shifting. There is a different energy that is coming into you. And every work that we do, it is directly or indirectly contributing. And the more we are able to connect with that energy of contribution and growth, sooner we will fall into that track of dharma. And when we don't do that, we manifest high blood pressure. We manifest lifestyle disorders. We get into binge eating. We get into different kinds of addictions. That is what we call it as karma. Because we couldn't find that joy. It is like the substitute to find yourself. See, I had a friend. During his school days, he was told that he would end up being a fisherman because he could not speak good English. And, okay, coming from a colonized country, if you don't speak English, you can be as good as nothing. Because growth means you have to speak English. So if you speak English, your possibilities are very high. So he was not good at English, and then he was not good at school. He could never sit in that. But he had a great love with dogs. So whenever he sees dogs, he would make friends with the dogs and he would fall in love with that. And he, one day what happened, his neighbors were going, they had bought a very expensive, furry puppy, you know. And then they didn't know what to do. So they realized, this boy, he is very good at, so why don't we give it to him? So he fell in love with that. He would take it for a walk and he would feed the right thing. And when they came back, they realized this puppy is more healthy and more happy. Then they realized, this is fantastic, so maybe he should do that. And then others started giving. Now he started setting up a kennel club. He is paid for doing what he loves. No education. He was told he will be a failure. And if you see all the prodigies, it is not that they were successful in the society's norms. The schooling system doesn't mean anything. And the thing is, now people will say, but I am too old. You will see lots of examples of people who are, even after 85, they find something beautiful and they try to do something. See, the muscles, even if you are 98, you can still run 100 meters. There are people, like there are masters champion, you know, people above 95 who are running the 100 meters. Our muscle will still gain. Google Sister Madonna. She's someone who finished a triathlon when she was 78 and started when she was 76. So age is never an excuse. It's about our, what we call it as kutarka, you know. We have to, what we mean about kutarka is we are constant a victim. We are complaining about life. Oh, my life is like this. My, this is like this. You see, never before we had such a beautiful time of living. If you look at history, maybe our news is telling things are going wrong. But if you look at history, we are living in one of the best times of history. You know, we could go to another country, other continent within 11 hours. Before, it used to take 9 months. And we don't know if they would reach. And in such a fantastic time, it's just that we are having a short circuit in our approach to life. Any questions? We are running out of time.
Just a quick one around contribution. Are you talking also about service?
See, when you do something and when you see that others are happy because of you, and when you are able to know that, there's a saying, the hairdressers are one of the most happiest people who does their job. Because they immediately see that they are happy with that. And that is why people sitting under the computer, they are not able to understand who is able to see that. So the idea is when you do something, see how it is changing a person's life. And that gives a good karma and you are getting closer to your energy of contribution. Whatever work you are doing, if you are able to work from a state of I am going to contribute, I am going to grow, it will change your whole dynamics. Like the story of the cat philosophy, you know, the cat, two cats go to this cat philosophy, they learn that one cat, after that learning that cat philosophy, one cat started running behind its tail all the time. So the other cat asked, why are you doing such a crazy thing, running behind your tail all the time? He said, didn't we go to the cat philosophy school? And they taught us two things. Happiness is the number one thing in your life. And second thing, happiness is in your tail. So I am running behind my tail for that. And the other cat said, this is exactly what I learned. But I thought, I move ahead and explore things and the tail will follow me. Do you understand this? So, if you are following that, we miss the whole point of exploring life. So, that's what we mean about contribution. Okay. Good night and have a good dinner.
So, alles klar zum Thema Dharma und Karma. Ich finde es ja so schön, weil ich finde diese beiden Themen auch unglaublich wichtig. Und ich finde, wie immer, Vignesh hat einfach einmal so coole Art und macht es einfach so einfach, offensichtlich, verständlich. Ich finde es geil. Morgen ist unser letzter Tag mit Vignesh und zwar geht es morgen um das Thema Dinacharya. Das sind die ayurvedischen Grundprinzipien und welche das sind und warum die empfohlen werden für unsere Gesundheit. Darüber spricht er manjana. Ansonsten, genau, hier, Made for More Workshop, natürlich dir mal angucken auf der Website, natürlich mit mir detoxen und richtig, richtig gut auf dich aufpassen. Ich schicke dir wie immer eine große Portion Sonne aus der aus den Tropen aus Costa Rica und hoffe, dass es dir wunderbar geht. Pass gut auf dich auf und wir hören uns morgen wieder. Alles Liebe, deine Dana.